weekly series in the Chattanooga Times Free Press, which began a little more than a year ago, looks back at the city's past, one photo at a time. The series is called Remember When Chattanooga? Mark Kennedy writes the stories in the series, and the photos are on loan from ChattanoogaHistory.com, a website created by Sam Hall. Sam is an amateur historian who started collecting and publishing vintage photos of Chattanooga back in 2014. I spoke with Mark and Sam earlier this month. Sam, Mark, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Tell us more about how Remember When came to be.
It's been a year this month. Actually, a year of the end of January since we started this. At that time, we were doing some brainstorming at the newspaper about creating new features that would spike interest in our website. And we knew that some other newspapers had had luck with nostalgia columns of different sorts. And during this brainstorming, I remembered having done a column about Sam in the recent past and his work with local photography and being sort of the curator of this website called ChattanoogaHistory.com in a previous incarnation. I think it was called DeepZoom.com. What I remembered about Sam was he told me that from a very early age, he had had this insight that he needed to preserve photography that was not so much about taking pictures of people, but taking pictures of things. And he can tell this story better than I, but I remember him saying that in high school, he got a camera and started taking random photos of things like the lunchroom in his high school, and how all these years later, it was those sort of inanimate photos that people wanted to see because they were the settings that they remembered from high school years. So I think he had this incredible insight about that. And now his website has all sorts of historical images on it. So we formed this sort of partnership a year ago. I'm sort of the stenographer and scribe, I guess, in this, and Sam supplies the photographs from his extensive archive. And every week we publish in the newspaper and online a historic photo of Chattanooga that hopefully sparks some interest in the readers and watchers. And then I do an archive search and try to find the historical references that are suggested in the photo and write a little story to go along with it. That, in a nutshell, is where we are. We've been doing it for about a year once a week. So there's about 50 of them in the can at this point.
And true. Sam, out of all of the photos in your collection, how do you decide to sift down to a pile that you and Mark can look at and ask the readers, do you remember when this was taken?
That's one of the first things we did was see what's available and what is of the most interest, because Mark and his team were also watching carefully their analytics to see what drove the most interest, and quickly found out that not necessarily the distant past, but more like the 1950s, 60s, and even more recent was sparking the most reactions. Now, unfortunately, those are generally harder to find. You would think that the closer to current day, the more photos we would have available. It's not the case. It's actually the opposite. It has to do with what we do with our photos. And I'll stick with film and not even get into the digital side now. But, because film, people would keep it in a shoebox on a shelf, right? And that's your archive. But that works really well. It's good for about 100 years as long as nobody tosses it. And many of them do. So we looked at negatives that came from different places, and I would kind of pre-sift through them and provide them back to Mark, and this is still the process. He would go through and, knowing what he knows, pick out those that have the most potential. So it's kind of a multi-layered process. But I will say quite a few of the photos, I would say the majority, ironically, came from some that were saved from the Chattanooga Free Press collection before it merged with the Times. And these were preserved by the Chattanooga History Center in form of digitization. There's a lot more that are still out there, but it just goes to show how much interest is still around for photos.
What are some of the photos that have gotten the most responses that have surprised either or both of you?
Anticipating that you might ask that, I tried to think back over the last year, and coincidentally, the most recent photo and the very first photo were very apparent in our analytics to have sort of touched a chord within the reading public, and people tended to look at them. The very last one we had was something about a jewelry store named Le Grand Jewelry. And the interesting thing about this, Ray, is a lot of these photos suggest a story, but we don't know on first blush what the story is. This particular photo had a bunch of people packed around the entrance to a jewelry store in 1953. And so it was my mission as sort of a reporter to dig through our archives and try to figure out what put them there, why there's this mass of people out in front of this store. I couldn't find any news stories that gave me any clues, but I did find an advertisement that I think might have been a clue to what was going on there. This store advertises in a huge full-page advertisement in the newspaper that it was having a sale on silver services. And I did some research and found out that in the middle of the 20th century, people were still very much in the accumulation mode. It was very aspirational for the middle class to have a full table setting full of sterling silver. And so a lot of people would line up for these things. This was one of the first time, if ever, that these pieces had gone on sale. So a place service, a fork, a knife, spoon, soup spoon, that normally cost about $27 was on sale for $19. And evidently, this was enough of a bargain in those days to attract a crowd of people that were ready to rush into this jewelry store right in the beginning. So that was a recent photo. One that we started with many months ago, actually about a year ago, was a simple photo of seven high school age teenagers who were sitting at a concession stand, and they were all sipping Coca-Colas out of the little green bottles that we remember from back in the day. Like a lot of our photos, sometimes we just throw them out there as a mystery. We had no idea who these people were, what high school they might have represented, but we figured if we published it in the newspaper and put it online that we would get our answer. Well, we found out pretty quickly that people love to respond to these kind of mysteries. In this particular instance, a lady called us who said, "I'm in that photo." Beyond that, she described to us the name of everybody in the photo and the fact that they were all still living. So if they were teenagers in 1953, do the math, they're in their 80s now. But she named all seven, explained to us that this photo was from an advertisement in their class yearbook. She remembered exactly why it was taken. And she said Coca-Cola sponsored the ad and had asked that they all be drinking Cokes in the photo. So we got this complete like slice of life story about the contents of this photo just by throwing it out there in the newspaper. And I was able to come back and write a column about it. So each picture kind of has a little mystery attached to it. And it's the discovery of what those mysteries are that makes it interesting to me as a lifelong reporter to go out and do this once a week.
I think that one surprised me and was a good sign for how this series would go. I mean, I never imagined it would last over a year, and it really has gone. I think I had just started it when I was on your show right before we all went home and locked down for the pandemic. But as far as some of the photos, I've been very impressed with that. Mm-hmm. And there's been a few that where somebody will come out and say, "Hey, that's me in the photo," or "That's so-and-so, my mom worked with her." What is of great interest to me is peeling back more layers that normally would be forever lost. And that's one of the things I do with my website that I enjoy the most is identifying people, identifying places. And so between Mark and I working on these, it's always a joy to hear from the readers and those that see it online and those that see it on my website. So it's a multi-angled approach. It was kind of an experiment for the newspaper. I thought it would do well, but I didn't know it would do this well. And I told Mark, I said, it's really a good sign that we've gone a whole year. The only danger is running out of photos. So one of the things I'm always doing is asking folks that may have old photos to share them. And as I was alluding to earlier, one reason we don't have some of the more recent photos is that people hang on to them. If you've ever been to an estate sale, you'll get a very eye-opening view of what happens to things you hang on to. They either get tossed or they end up in an estate sale. The photos may be in a box, and the negatives especially, which are the best, get tossed and thrown away. So I encourage people to say, "Hey, maybe let me borrow those to scan them." And I've had several people that saw that plea and have contacted me. In fact, I did something recently where I look back at 2020 and I said, thanks for the memories, basically, of 2020, and got to share some of the best photos that people had reached out to me about. I wish there were more, and I think there are still many more out there. So I'll use this opportunity to say, use the contact form on my website if you have actual photos. Not so much printed material like newspapers, because they're kind of at the best they're going to be as far as the resolution.
And tell us more about your website these days, ChattanoogaHistory.com. It has come a long way, and that includes it has come a long way in just the past year.
Well, I did change the name. It used to be Deep Zoom Chattanooga, which I think a lot of people still remember that, and I still have that domain. But when ChattanoogaHistory.com became available, I got it, and I was very thankful because that really is a better description of what it's about. there's plenty of angles you can take with history. A lot of people that have better writing skills than I do, like Mark, but my skill is to take some of the incredible quality of photos that existed even over 100 years ago and bring those to life in an interactive way through the web. And that was the original driving force of the website, is because I would see old glass plate negative scans from the Library of Congress that are mind-blowing. They're still on my site. You can see a view from what is now Cameron Hill and Blue Cross, and you can look out and see details of advertisements in downtown Chattanooga. And this would be 1902 or 1909, and a lot of people didn't realize that photos were that good back then. So I continued that theme and started adding additional resources like map overlays of before and after. There's one page about whether buildings exist. There was an aerial shot of the downtown area in the 1940s. And I thought, I wonder how many of those buildings are still there now. And so I did that. I took and painstakingly overlaid a mask, so to speak, of what's there and what's not. Quite a bit still remains. And it's called What Remains, by the way. But a lot of it does not remain. And I think it's very eye-opening to see just how much of our history, how much of our architecture has gone away. So I try to look for new angles to help people identify things. I get a lot of emails from folks trying to find information. I don't have all the answers, but if I do, I'll gladly share that.
And where can people go online to keep up on all that both of you do?
There's a bit of interactivity to the newspaper side of this too. We have set up a public group on Facebook, and you can just go to Facebook and search the terms Remember When Chattanooga, and it'll come up. We have like 2,000 members now, and those people sometimes share their own photos. They comment on the photos and stories that run in the Times Free Press, which typically run in print on Fridays and Saturdays and also appear on our website, timesfreepress.com. So there's a lot of entry points, including Sam's good website for people to get to this content. And his website has a gallery of these images and contains links back to the stories that have appeared in the newspaper. So you can kind of lose yourself in this once you get into one of these places and start looking at all the photos we've done and the stories that are attached to them.
That's true. And I do have on my website a contact form. I also have a newsletter sign up. I'll send out an update email. I try not to spam people. I might send out 6 a year max whenever I post some new pages. But I depend on the Remember When features to be promoted by the paper, and they do that very well. So anytime I put something that's a separate effort that's of note, I will send folks a notice via email if they like.
And again, your site, Sam, ChattanoogaHistory.com.
That's it.
All right. Sam, Mark, thanks so much.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.